Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We've got a full house today. We're talking with one of our favorite go-to local stories with Bob Oliphant. Mike is over there. Mike?
Mike is right over here. And Mike Cosentino is over here, and Bob is over there. Bob Oliphant, he authored a book now. We've had Bob on before. This is it's going to get louder. It's going to get louder as the show goes on here because
Speak for yourself.
Speaking for myself, exactly.
We broke the Yavapai College story in the media back in February of 2014.
And what was that story?
Well, the story was, it was sort of an unbelievable story. It started out with Jessica and I had dinner over a friend's house, and we heard this very bombastic former professor tell us all these crazy stories about the college taking all the money out of the Verde Valley and so forth and so on. And then we started looking around for confirmation, and we came across Bob Oliphant. I just dropped the bomb on Bob today because all of us are former university law professors here, so yes, it's kind of a collegiate thing.
Some of us from the jailhouse.
But we had our producer, one of our producers, Bill Timmerman, check everything he said, you know. And from the beginning, Bob's work's been golden and accurate and balanced. Bob?
Well, thank you.
And he's written a book called Wake Up Verde Valley, You've Just Been Ripped Off. I mean, I have to admit, the title is not too ambiguous, okay, folks? He hit me on the mail. It's straightforward. There's no second guessing. Now, Wake Up Verde Valley, You've Just Been Ripped Off. And he's referring to that the college is run from the Prescott side, and Verde Valley and Sedona. In fact, when we, as you say, broke the story, Bob resigns in January of 2014. After that, you had your conversation. We start getting wind of this. They were going to close. They were going to sell. There's no doubt in my mind that they were going to sell the Sedona campus.
No, they were going to sell Sedona.
The Sedona campus was history. This campus that people wanted and fought for and thought was a really wonderful thing to have in such a community as Sedona was going to be history because these bean counters up in Prescott decided that education was not their mission.
The other thing I'd say is Bob's title is Wake Up Verde Valley. You've just been ripped off is not too extreme. One reason we didn't believe the story when we originally saw it was the level at which they were taking money out of the Verde Valley and spending it over in Prescott, Bob. I was astonished at the amount. I thought, can this really be true? But tell us about the history of the conflict. Bob's new book has a lot of information that we haven't seen before, and one of them is a history about the conflict. Gary?
First, tell us about how we could get the book.
Yeah.
You know, tell us about the – I know you're just going to make a fortune off of this.
No. So. Yeah. The book is absolutely free, period. We have given it to all of the libraries in the Valley, all of the government agencies in the Valley that are associated with or might be interested in the college. We've given it to nonprofit organizations that might be interested. And we'll be posting the book in about 2 weeks on ionyavapaicollege.com. That's a blog I write. And so people can download it free, absolutely free. No catch whatsoever.
That's EYE on Yavapai College, EYE on yavapaicollege.com, and you can get the book for free.
It's rare, you know, there's all the talk, but it's rare that you get a sort of whistleblower like Bob who had so much information. So it made our – It would have taken weeks and weeks and weeks to dig through all the information. Bob had it all there. Why did you were on the board of governors, right?
Yes.
That was called
mm-hmm.
of the Yavapai College, and you resigned. Why did you resign? Let's start with that.
It was clear to me that the situation for the Verde Valley was hopeless, absolutely hopeless. I was outvoted on anything for the Verde Valley 4-1. I also was restrained by this very odd governance process that they followed, the Carver model, they call it, where you're not supposed to carry out your representative duties. I felt the only way to bring information to the Verde Valley was to leave that board and do whatever I could to let people in the valley know what was going on, try and show them accurately and honestly the inequities that were being imposed on them.
Let's review, Bob, what the inequities were. What really was bothering you and I guess ended up bothering all of us when we researched it?
Well, the inequities really, what has happened is that this people on the west side of the county have bought and paid for the college. They see it as their college. They really do. And in December of 2013, this proposal came where they're going to invest another $103.5 million. $103.5 million, as you all know. And about 5% of that investment was going, over a 10-year period, about 5% was going to come again to the valley. And they had already closed the Camp Verde facility. They announced in December they were heading toward closing down the Sedona facility. And when I walked the Verde Valley campus, it had become pretty much a ghost campus. And they weren't taking any effective, in my judgment, taking any effective direction to try and do something about it.
One of the things that I found when I started doing some research was that since been pointed out by others is that from 2008 to 2009, the number of credit hours taken and available at the Clarkdale campus and Sedona campus had been cut by 2014 had been cut in half.
That's essentially correct, right. Courses had been removed. Faculty had been reduced. The campus was struggling, quite frankly, to exist. In many jurisdictions, the campus in 2013 over here would have been closed. The enrollment had just plummeted.
Since Bob's resignation, and which he was wonderfully accurate on his prediction, or at least I'm sure his that it did create the attention that this topic needed.
Well, I think one reason we were skeptical, right, Mike, was that they were spending 95% of the money
right
over on the other side. We couldn't believe that they would be that extreme in doing what they're doing. And I guess that Bob and Mike, they'd only been talking to each other for a very long time. Nobody had been watching them, and they were just doing whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for whatever reason, we didn't have a strong board member or a go along to get along kind of guy, and but since then the myriad of committees that were formed one of the deans has been had a series of articles and in a local paper, but all. To as far as I'm concerned, not aimed at the one of the factors, and that is enrollment. It's still incredibly confusing to enroll. There's still incredibly small amount of offerings. There still is not the capital investment. The people, when you talk to folks in our age group, or, you know, getting back to that they want ceramics, they want jewelry, they want stuff that unfortunately costs money.
Welding. They're very interested in welding.
They want to know how to use a computer, on and on and on. And I was railing before the show, and I might as well stick it in here, that the arrogance of Yavapai College board and administration. We do have a wonderful OLLI program. I mean, and it is well attended. But it is what it is. It's what it is intended to be. It's people. It's
OLLI program is for older adults, non-credit program.
It's an adult education program of
wide spectrum of courses.
Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Yeah. I want to jump in here with one thing. When Bob was on the board, it was a 4-1 vote. Bob was a very strong, advocate for the Verde Valley. When he resigned, we've since gotten his replacement is Al Filardo from Clarkdale, and since then another board member has been elected that is sympathetic to the cause, Deb McCaslin, and both of those two have done an excellent job in representing the Verde Valley. The problem is it's a 3-2 vote. It's their only two votes out of five.
And the board knows this.
Right. Let me, if I may, just back up for a minute. This is not a problem that has just come to the forefront. This is a 50-year problem. It goes all the way back to 1966. It really does. And that's when the county decided to have a junior college. That's when the leaders in the Verde Valley decided they would have the college over here, and that began a fierce political fight that has continued over the past 50 years as to what resources should come to the west side and what resources should come to the east side. And once the west county gained control of the college, the resources, the politics, the powerful politics over there have meant that the resources land on that side. So while it's astonishing what they did in 20, you're absolutely right, in 2013, why they would make such a ridiculous proposal and think no one's going to object to it is beyond me. But it's a 50-year problem. And when I researched it, I found periods where people have tried, recognized the inequity, tried to do something, and it's gone away.
Yeah, Ruth Wicks, and many others. Tell us why people should care.
People should care because if you want a serious economic engine, a community college is a serious economic engine. On the west side of the county, it pumps millions of dollars into that economy. It brings experts into that area of the college at a level that is totally unmatched over here. It brings has a large number of faculty over there. They buy homes, they buy food. It's a really serious economic engine.
It's also a ladder up for the population. That as I understand it, the average age of the students at Yavapai College is somewhere around 36, 37 years old.
That's right.
And these are people that have already, begun their lives and begun their families and have a full-time job. So they're trying to improve themselves and find a step up. At the same time, it's, with all the talk nationally about the increasing cost of universities and colleges, Yavapai College and community colleges across the country make it more affordable for students to get, their prerequisites out of the way and get a couple of years in before they transfer to a larger university and get their four-year degree.
Junior college is what we called them in the old days, or community college. Just, I think the principle, Bob, isn't it? They're supposed to be accessible, right?
That's exactly right.
They're supposed to be affordable,
right?
And they're supposed to be basically nearby in terms of location, so working people as well as younger people can go to classes and don't have to drive for an hour or hour and a half to get to school.
Yeah, that's its strength. That was always the community college, the junior college, whatever you want to call it. That was the strength, that it was there, that you would hold it in high school buildings or other community buildings in lieu of a campus. And hopefully, eventually, your community, your state would support it enough to give it its own building and its own facilities and put equipment in those facilities. But in the meantime, we had lots and lots of Yavapai classes at various places, including the high schools of Sedona and Cottonwood.
According to your book, Bob, several sort of independent committees suggested the college should be put here in the Verde Valley, that the main part of the college should be here, and that was overridden by in a political fight between the eastern part of the valley and the western
part.
Is that true?
That's right. Right. In fact, initially, if you go back and you look at what was going on in 1966, the leaders in the Verde Valley recognized the enormous economic value of locating that college here. They went out and obtained from a local corporation a commitment of over $1 million for residence halls and other development. 165 prime acres was promised to them, plus $100,000 cash, free. I mean, they came up with an amazing proposal. And when they presented it, they were, I believe, firmly believed that they would be successful. And they were stunned when the junior college turned it down. It's the politics of Prescott and that side, just very powerful. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think is unique about this situation compared to what I'm more familiar with in the Midwest is that it's not uncommon for population centers to want to consolidate resources within the population center. And Prescott's the largest population center. That part is not unique, but this is a unique situation in which we have this gigantic mountain in between the population center and the Verde Valley with the secondary population center.
And Yavapai County, Gary, is about the size of Massachusetts. So if you're tuning in on us on the internet, we're talking about a very, very big county. And so where you place things in a county the size of Massachusetts is kind of a big deal in terms of access of the students.
I know of no other community college where you have to drive so far with such difficulty to get to the population center where they've consolidated most of the classes.
No, that's a very big deal. Right. That's a very big deal.
When I put the book together, I wanted to show some contrast in terms of what has happened and what are the needs over here. The most obvious need in the Verde Valley is for a centralized career and technical education center. The college has indicated they aren't going to provide money to build it. What have they done on the other side? Just very accurately in my research, they have built a magnificent indoor swimming complex for the children and the elderly. These students are peripherally involved. They have built a multi-million-dollar performing arts center. They've built that, in my judgment, for the citizens of Prescott. In December of 2014, they announced and dedicated a $1.2 or $3 million tennis complex. They didn't have a tennis team, but they received lots of political pressure from the local tennis association and from the people of Prescott. They built facilities for the city of Prescott using your money and not meeting, in my judgment, the most obvious need in terms of career and technical education. And no one disputes the facts that I've dug up. That's what they've done.
If we could remember for a minute here what the purpose of a community college or a junior college is. You have students coming out of high school looking for an economic alternative to what has become a ridiculously expensive endeavor, and that is higher education. We talk about elderly, we talk about seniors, we talk about all this stuff, we talk about community and all this stuff that the community is getting out of our tax dollars, but it's supposed to be education. We're supposed to be educating young people, at least, if not primarily, at least more than tangentially. We should be worried about those 18 and 19-year-olds coming out of the area high schools and having a place to go and programs that are meaningful, that can lead them. The career and the vocational career and technology board locally has a sign on their door: high wage, high technology, high wage jobs for the future, without necessarily a college degree, at least a traditional college degree. And that's there's certificate programs. There's all sorts of things that could be happening here that exactly would raise the level of living standard for residents of the Verde Valley that we're paying for. That money is going over the other side of the mountain and enjoy. So we want to talk about the benefits. I want to be – this is such a complex thing. We do want to talk about Bob Oliphant, our guest this morning, has a wonderful book called Wake Up, Verde Valley, You're Being Ripped Off.
But before we get away from the CTE thing too far, I'd like to have Bob describe the difference between the availability of CTE classes in the Verde Valley compared to you didn't really address what's going on in the Prescott area with the Mountain Institute.
And let's explain Bob what exactly it is, what the Training Institute is, and why it's important.
Right. What we're talking about is career and technical education training. What happened on the west side of the mountain was the Mountain Institute, which is the high school career and technical education district over there, worked intimately with the college. And together, they have built a model career and technical education training program, a model for the state, probably a model for the country. It is a wonderful program. The students are bused to the college. They work together on putting together the schedules. In fact, the Mountain Institute has just decided, with the college's agreement, to relocate in the college itself, in the CTEC facility. And they are offering at the facility that has been built over there for CTEC, between grants and everything else, they put in about $20 million since 2007. On this side of the mountain, all high school students on the west side of the mountain are eligible to take those CTE programs, and they have a bus system. It's a wonderful program. Over here, there is no access by our high school students to any of those programs. Zero. We do have some CTE in each of the high schools, but the high-end types of training that is going on over there are leaving our students here in the Verde Valley well behind. I cannot believe it. It gets me so upset.
It does.
I think, come on, this is a county. It's not a state college. It's being run over there as though it's a state institution. It's being run to coordinate the programs over there in a wonderful way, which for them is just terrific. But my goodness, look at the needs over here. 29%, Gary, I think it was, we were told the other day, reliably by the Morrison Institute, of our population is at or near poverty. We need career and technical education in the worst way. And they're building swimming complexes, tennis complexes. They're losing money by the hundreds of thousands of dollars on some of these projects like the Performing Arts Center, or at least that's what their last report was back in 2012 and 13. My goodness, as I say, wake up, Verde Valley.
Yeah.
This is not an issue of right or left or Democrats or Republicans or independents. This is just about fairness.
It's right or wrong, not right or left.
It's kind of about fairness. It's not almost political in one sense. It's political in a fundamental sense, in that what we're looking for and what Bob is campaigning for is fairness in the distribution of access for the people who live on this side of the valley, who pay a tremendous amount of taxes to support the college. We're not against the college. College is a beautiful little college. But what I think Bob has campaigned for the last few years is fairness. And the statistics he comes out with and finds and discovers are astonishing. Yeah. It show an astonishing level of unfairness.
Yes, a wonderful booklet called "Is It a Moral or Financial Issue? Barriers to Education." And as we've kind of alluded to, it does become a moral issue when you deny a segment of the population that you're, by the way, tasked to serve, when you set up barriers to education and those parts of life that can move them forward and give them a better life, then it becomes a moral issue, I think. And shame. Yes, the college is a wonderful place. They have some wonderful people there, but shame on them for this activity.
Well, that little booklet has to do with dual enrollment. And once again, the Verde Valley lost the political battle. Next Tuesday, the Verde Valley will lose the political battle once again on a whole series of issues. On the dual enrollment issue, every superintendent in the valley was against imposition of a fee. the Verde Valley Board Advisory Committee, representing every segment of the valley, was against any fee being imposed. Our two representatives were solidly against any fee being imposed.
Explain a little bit about
so
the
So those three people
Bob.
Decided to impose a fee to finish That's your right. story.
What's the background on this? They decided to impose a fee. Our representatives were against it. Their representatives were for. Why are they doing this? I mean, they want money, right?
They simply saw an opportunity to get some more money. This was a fight over $90,000. That's what they want to get from the schools in the county, which sounds like a small amount. But any amount of money for people who are impoverished is a problem. And we don't want the college to start going down the road of $10 for a credit, then 20, then 30, 15, whatever. They were investing very, very little in this program. All these dual enrollment courses are taught in high schools by qualified high school teachers. They use college textbooks, college curriculum. It has to be approved by the college. And yet the Yavapai College just saw kind of an opportunity to get $90,000, a third of the county, and every single important educational entity in that county was against it, one third of the county. The administration would not back down.
You're listening to Bob Oliphant.
It's incredible.
Author Bob Oliphant wrote a book called Wake Up Verde Valley. You've just been ripped off. And he just gave a great example of that, as a matter of fact, that the college is just squeezing local area high schools. For $90,000 on a $90 million budget, by the way, and as far as I'm concerned, not providing the services that they are tasked to provide. So the solution, one of the things I want to get to is forming the own district. We could list the as far as I'm concerned the near atrocities. Atrocity may be too strong a word, but.
We're talking about economic.
Economic.
The inequities.
Inequities that the west side of the
so you want to know what the solution is,
has
Mike.
Heaped on this side of the valley. Yeah. So one of the solutions that has been discussed, and I want to mention, by the way, that Bob has gotten a number of people on his side. I can't believe the local newspaper, local meaning Cottonwood, and Sedona, have really come around to his way of thinking. Sedona came much quicker, Cottonwood kicking and screaming. But as they see the Yavapai's policy of just no response, I don't know what the Ronald Reagan approach. If we don't ever address this problem, it will go away.
Right. The problem that you have, first of all, you've got this gigantic county, larger than many states. And Prescott trying to tell people in the Verde Valley or even understand what's going on over here. If 50 years does not illustrate that they can't do that, I don't know what does illustrate that problem. There has to be over here control, input by people who are running the college for the valley, who live here, who work here, who go to all the debates. Who are part of the community. So first of all, there just needs to be a focus. We really need focus over here to bring the communities, Camp Verde, Sedona, Cottonwood, Jerome, Clarkdale, bring them seriously together on the community college. And that's going to take a lot of very hard work. Second, you might consider an administrative college, some model of what they've done in Maricopa County, but not exactly copying it. That is doable. It only takes a vote of three members of the
governing board.
Yeah, governing board. But the West Side so far is solidly against even exploring that issue. They, when our representatives brought up the issue in March of this past year, it was voted down solidly by the three members. They don't even want an expert to look at how we can do things better over here.
Of but course that's, not.
I mean, so that would be a
very
beginning.
Bad start, Bob, yeah. to actually yeah. look at the yeah. problem, and especially they keep, having an independent person look at the problem.
Right.
And they keep doing these. They just recently did what they called a focus group of asking four questions of the of people of the communities. I spent a career dealing with demographic studies and focus groups and various research studies, attitude awareness and usage, et cetera, et cetera. What they did is utterly useless. I mean, it will give them some feedback, but it's not going to be anything scientific that can be used to determine anything.
Give folks an example of one of the questions, Gary.
It's been too long. It's been around for a while. I don't remember. It was basically asking what you want. You know, what's the need? What do you want to see happen in the Verde Valley? And it only, you know, I mean, they got feedback from what, like 40 people?
Well, it was probably 75, but...
out of 70,000?
You don't need a survey anymore. We have 70,000 people on this side of the mountain, for God's sakes. 70,000 people.
Yeah.
You don't need a survey or anything like that to say those people deserve a thriving community college. We are paying, we know, using college figures, we know that we're now generating $14 to $15 million from the Verde Valley every year to support the community college. We also know that
would that be enough to run our own school?
It would be enough to run any kind of community college school that you carefully construct. You have to work within the parameters. You don't want to raise taxes. You don't have to. We're sending... $7 million every year over to the other side, which is being used. What are they building right now? They are building every year $6, $7, and $8 million in new buildings. Look at their budgets. Anyone can go online and look at their capital budgets. Think what we could do with that money over here. Think what we could do with that money if we started using it to support our students in terms of scholarships, our high school students. Take the money. Let's start giving it back to our community over here.
Obviously, all this building of new buildings is because they've dramatically increased enrollment. Is that right?
No. What has happened is, ironically, enrollment has dropped.
Sarcastically.
You're setting him up.
Numbers, we start with the numbers of people who once attended Yavapai College. It has dropped over the past 10 years by 6,000 people. That one-third of the number no longer goes to Yavapai College. If we look at what they call FTSE, full-time student equivalent, that figure has not dropped until this year as precipitously as the actual number. What has happened is the people who have stayed have been taking more courses. Suddenly, this coming year, they're losing, they say, at least $1 million because of the drop in enrollment at the college, and the FTSE no longer is supporting it. They also changed their fee structure in 2013. The basic fee of $75 or $79 that you hear is a basic fee. About half of these students are paying $100 or more, some of the per credit. Some are paying $500 right now in the aviation program, $575 per credit. So the basic fee that you see is not representative of the actual amount of money that they've been taking in. So they've been quite cleverly putting in this new fee schedule without telling the public much about it.
And why this is really important is we got some figures. This past weekend was the Verde Valley Forum, which was focused on education in the Verde Valley. And we got some statistics, and I'm terrible at remembering numbers, but it's highly important for people to have some post-secondary education in this world. The manufacturing jobs are being replaced by robots. There's talk within 10 years we'll have 18-wheel semis that are self-driven, eliminating about $10 million jobs for people that are now currently occupied by people that don't have post-secondary education.
Let me put a plug in here. Gary LeMaster and Bill Timmerman, who has talked about automation, artificial intelligence before, are going to have a program, a whole 45 minutes devoted to artificial intelligence, the impact on the future. And Gary knows a lot about it. Bill knows a lot about it. It should be an interesting program. It seems a little arcane, but something's going to be happening, as Gary was saying, with automation and artificial intelligence that we've got to get prepared for. And I don't know, folks, without a college education, without technical training and retraining, you have to keep retraining. The computer programmers that I knew were trained once, and then every time the economy shifts, every time the intellectual information shifts, they have to retrain themselves. Even at the very highest end, they have to constantly retrain to keep their job.
Change is coming at an ever faster pace, and the only way you're going to be able to deal with that, as we were told and reminded over the weekend, is for students to learn critical thinking and how to handle project management. Those are kind of the key issues going forward. And for the most part, that requires some post-secondary education.
Well, you're absolutely right. If the studies that we were given at that conference are correct, the crisis in the United States is enormous. There is a real divide between the have and the have-nots educationally. And the have-nots educationally are simply not going to get jobs. And the statistics right now show they're not getting jobs, that there has to be some post-secondary education. And what they know on the other side in CTE training, they have robotics training over there. They're integrating their engineering training into CTE. They are doing exactly the right thing over there, in my judgment. And we have to do something over here. We can't let half of our population in the Verde Valley have no future at all because they don't have educational opportunities.
That's exactly what's happening, folks. I mean, we've got kids coming out of our high school, Sedona Red Rock High School, Mingus Union High School, Camp Verde High School, without the opportunities that the kids have on the other side, that the young people have on the other side of the mountain. And that's, once again, morally wrong. If this has interested you and piqued your interest a little bit, please go to www.ionyavapaicollege.com, and you can get a lot of this information, and eventually you can even get Bob Oliphant's entire book called Wake Up Verde Valley, You're Being Ripped Off.
Which is a handsome-looking book, I've got to say.
It is a handsome book.
It's got a handsome picture of Bob.
Except for that picture, yeah. I'm not sure about that.
What I want to ask you, Mike, is...
But we want to talk that the solution is,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned, is forming our own district. This is not, as you mentioned, this is not forging new territory. This is not territory. This is not a radical idea. We do this in other parts of the state. They do this all over the country. An administrative district... at least a separate county? Fine, we can talk about that, but at least an administrative district.
Where should we go politically, Bob? What is the solution? Mike is talking about administrative districts. He's talking about even separating the county and making it a little smaller, making it into two counties. What's the way forward? What's to be done about this? Suppose that we've gotten at least... clear, and we've got a bunch of programs. We have 8 programs we've done over the years on this issue, folks, that you can go on our website and listen to them. The original program, you can listen to our dialogue.
One
with
of
the
those
university.
Programs is with the Yavapai administration,
yes,
by
yes,
the way.
Yes.
Penny Wills and one of her vice
took
presidents.
Took some effort to get them over here, and they weren't happy to be here, but they did come, and they're credit.
Another issue.
I guess I'm kind of all over the place, but Bob, what can be done? Suppose the inequities and the misspending is what we're seeing. What's the political route? You spent your life as a university law professor, and now you're becoming a political agitator. So put on your political agitator hat and tell us what can be done.
First, support Deb McCaslin and Al Filardo. The two representatives really support them in what they're trying to do. It's very discouraging for them to consistently be voted down. Whatever you can do, support those two representatives politically. Second, after this election, we've been working with the legislature. We are trying to persuade the local legislators, and we think we may have on board some of them now, do exactly what you're suggesting, Mike. That is to set up a separate taxing district to try to address the issue that way if the governing board majority on the west side won't move. I think that's probably our next effort will be to try and persuade the legislature and, again, people who believe in education and want education over here can help us by writing to their legislators, helping us if we go down there to talk to committees on education.
Bob, Deputy Castlin, Al Filardo are the representatives on the Yavapai College Board from this side of the valley.
I want to point out I double checked this with you, Bob. We have a governing board meeting coming up. Is it tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Tuesday
at 1 o'clock.
At the Verde Campus Building M.
Right. We have a meeting. We send emails out to people to come and express their view to the governing board. You get a 3-minute shot. If there's too many, they'll reduce it to 2 minutes. But at 1 o'clock this coming Tuesday, room M137 on the Verde Campus, the district governing board will be there.
And I want to point out that our criticism of the college is not, it's of the administration and of the governing board. It's not of the teachers and the students. You know, some of the students or graduates have kind of taken it personally that they feel like we're attacking the college. And it's the administration and the fairness. It's, you know, there's been terrific classes and teachers here. And it's not about them at all. It's about fairness for providing more opportunities in the Verde Valley.
I think that's a great point, Gary. Right. We're supporting the college. We're happy with their facilities and stuff, but what we want is more equitable spending. We have some announcements.
On other issues of fairness, we want to talk about Democrats of the Red Rocks has a breakfast coming up in a few days, Thursday the 15th at 8 a.m. in Old Sedona Bar and Grill. They are having a discussion about the marijuana law, Proposition 205. Mike Weiser will be there, the CD4 candidate, Congressional District 4, candidate for Congress. We're going to have Adam Kinsey there. He's going to both speaking in favor. There may be a speaker on the other side of the issue, hoping for both. Breakfast Thursday, 9:15, that's September 15th at 8 o'clock.
We hope to do a pre-recording. It should be on our show next week.
We hope to have a show on it next week. Right. Marijuana. It's a lot of states are moving to do exactly what Arizona is doing, and that's legalize it.
It's time to talk about it.
In some ways. Also, if you want to meet some of your candidates, one of the best ways to do that is what DOOR does every year, hold an annual picnic, where a lot of the candidates come. Ann Kirkpatrick, saw her yesterday. She was in Cottonwood. She will be there. She's running against John McCain, of course, for Senate. On the 18th, we're talking about the DOOR picnic up at the Posse Grounds. This coming Sunday, right? It's 3 days after the 15th. Comes the 18th.
Posse Grounds in Sedona, Arizona. It's a new venue for the picnic.
It is a new venue for the picnic. You don't have to go up the canyon. If you get there, I'll be cooking, but somewhere around 11:45, you might get something to eat. But the official hours are 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Going to cost you a few bucks, 10, 15 bucks, 10 for single, 15
For family.
And we're looking at a barbecue lunch at the Posse Grounds Park in Sedona. Come meet some candidates. Nikki Bagley will be there. And
Tom O'Halloran
will be there.
Auctions. They're wonderful auctions.
We have
silent
all kinds
auctions
of good stuff. Jim Ledbetter is going to be auctioning off some wine. And I may be helping him because he needs help. You know,
pretty interesting gift certificates and baskets and stuff that will be available for auction as well.
Mike's pretty good at flipping hamburgers. Bill Timmerman will be there flipping hamburgers with him.
I just have the hat. He has the skill. I have the hat. Don't forget, this and all our shows are on vvid.org. Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org can find our shows.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.